What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Just As Well Things podcast. I apologize for not putting out an episode last week, but I'm back this week to do a special interview with Colum Gavin. Colum, do you want to introduce yourself and kind of share your story about getting into music? And we're just really excited to have you today.
Thanks so much, Isabel. Well, thanks for having me for a start. And before we came on the air, we sort of chatted about our shared love of Derry Girls, which is, I think it's deadly, the fact that that's traveled so far across the world. But So my name is Colum Gavin. I'm a singer-songwriter. I grew up in Dublin. I suppose I was taught music through the classical method, but with contemporary leanings. So my music teacher, Peter Stanton, he was my teacher for 15 years. He was very old world. He was like a Renaissance man. So the way he dressed, the way he held himself, like immaculate. He was like a Roald Dahl character, is the best way I could explain him, with a twizzled mustache and a little bit of dusty, sandy brown hair, and he would always be impeccably dressed.
Right.
With a men's burgundy shoe, and he smoked sweet Afton cigarettes, which are filterless, which now you can't buy them here, but at that time, it was about 15, 16 years ago when I first met him, you could. But everything about him, he was just such an unusual character, and all to me always felt like a man out of time. So he was someone who would have fit in perfectly in the Victorian era. Mm-hmm. And he was just floating about in the atmosphere.
He was my teacher.
And I suppose the performance aspect of my life was shaped by busking. I was a busker on Grafton Street and a number of different spots in Dublin. And I tell you, if you can handle that, you can handle anything. So that's a synopsized version of me and what I do.
Awesome. That's super cool. So what kind of inspired you to start music or go into music, or what inspired you to start music?
So I suppose there's three things. I mentioned my teacher, Peter Stanton. He was huge. Like on my latest record, the 1992 tapes, there's a picture of me sitting at the piano and there's a picture of him on the piano.
That's cool.
He passed away earlier last year.
Oh, okay.
But he was just such a huge influence and became one of my best friends too. Like I was his student for 15 years, but he taught me. I would go to his classes 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And he would say to me, I'll only charge your mother for one class, but you seem interested enough that you'd like to come to all these other ones. So if you know, rather than spare me poor mother the extra few shillings. But then as well as that, the radio played a huge role. Like I had a Walkman.
Yeah.
This is also like, for those listening who don't remember, it's about the size of your phone and was for the radio specifically. This is before like MP3 and stuff like that. And what I loved about it was you could hone in on a program. We had a great station called Phantom FM, and Phantom used to play broadcasts of American shows. So like Bob Dylan's Theme Time Radio Hour, Jim Parrell's Music Authority. And I used to listen to Jim Parrell's show. He's based in Cape Canaveral in Florida. And years later, when I got into the business, he started to play my music. And the juxtaposition of that, where like I used to, you know, bury my head in the pillow at 15 and cry about the girl who won't go out with me and listen to sad songs on Jim's program. Years later, he was playing my stuff. So those things were really important. Like I don't, my parents don't play music, so it's not like I grew up around it.
Right.
So it was like it was a new entity. So there were a multitude of things, but those two were certainly. We're big players in that sense.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. And it's interesting how you say, like, you know, usually when you ask people, like musicians, this question, it's like my parents had a very big impact on my musical journey. And that's cool that like didn't have that. And it's also really cool that your music teacher stuck with you for so long and was such an influential, you know, person in your life, in your music career, in your personal life. And even just listening to the radio, I think is like, so really cool. So awesome. Do you have any specific music influences? Maybe people that you base your music off of, or not like base your music off of, but you know, music style inspirations or people you like to listen to?
Yeah, for sure. Like the American songwriter movement of between like 1965 and 72, 73 was like, I'm into music of all genres and descriptions. And I love the music of the 1920s. Sort of prohibition era style music, but really and truly, like if you break it down to the nuts and bolts of what I do, the songwriter movements, I think of people like Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, Jackson Brown, Harry Chapin, Harry Nilsson, Randy Newman, that like the classic American Canadian songwriters would have been probably the most defining influence, I think.
Awesome. Super cool. So next question, I kind of like jump around with my questions, but what do you have coming up for fans in the next year or so that they can look forward to?
So, well, in the States, I'm actually giving a performance in June. I think it's June the 4th in Boston, in the Boston City Winery. And it's actually Harry Chapin's family are an integral part of organizing it, but it's a tribute to the music of Harry Chapin. That's for everybody stateside. But in Ireland, like I do a regular residency gig in a place called Oras Cronan, which is an Irish cultural center.
Oh, cool.
And it's like an old, it's a couple of 100-year-old mansion house in the center of the village where I live.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. And the room that we have set up is kind of like a Prohibition era style speakeasy. We call it the speakeasy. It's like a piano jazz bar. So I have a gig there tonight. So like once I'm finished talking with you, I'm straight out the door, and that's what I'll be.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And it's really cool that you get to, you know, with COVID and everything, you get to, you know, travel to the States and do that awesome tribute show. Super cool. Do you have any new music coming out in the next year or so?
Yeah, well, at the moment, I have a new record out called the 1992 Tapes, and it's like an EP. So it's five tracks, it's original material, and it's just me at the piano. Yeah. And what I wanted to do for this record was kind of, I primarily write at the piano. So I wanted to make a record that gave the listener the closest replicate of how a song comes to be. So I just performed at the piano, no strings, no flowery arrangements, just the song and the voice, and that's it. So that the 1992 Tapes, that's available now. So like you can get that on Spotify, Deezer, Amazon Music, Google Play, you know, wherever you get your music.
Yeah, and then for everyone listening, I'm going to have all of Colm's music, links to everything to check out his music in my episode description. So after you're done listening to this episode, go check it out where you can listen to all of his music and stream all of his music as well. Cool. So how has COVID affected you as a musician, and were you able to make or write music while in lockdown?
Yeah, hugely. And I think what it gave me and a lot of my contemporaries too was the opportunity to address your process, which I know that'll make sense to you as a media student, where when you have 24, well, you don't have 24 hours in a day because you have to sleep for a certain amount of them.
Yeah.
But whatever amount of time that you have, you have to look at how productive you're being per hour.
Yeah.
So if you set yourself, you know yourself, you're a student, you've got assignments, there's time to do it in. And you know when you get an assignment and someone says, this isn't due for a month, and you're like, yes, you know, I've loads of time now to do this.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing. Because then you're going to leave it till the last day or two, and you're going to give a hackneyed job of what you probably should have done a better job on.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get better at that, because I have an awful habit of leaving things on the long finger. And then when the time comes, I'll do a half-hearted version of what I could have done if I'd given them a month's attention or 2 months' attention or whatever. So I just wanted to get better at that. And I did a lot of collaborating and co-writing and that kind
of thing.
So yeah, it was hugely now by the time we got to the end. Like COVID is pretty much over here. Like the last of the restrictions are gone now and that kind of thing. But I mean, it fairly dragged on. So like I was delighted to see the back of it. Like I'll put it to you that way.
Right. So are you grateful for the aspect of COVID where you got to, you know, kind of revamp the process, just work on writing, co-writing? Are you grateful to have had that like time, I guess?
Oh, for sure. No, 100%. Like it was brilliant. And like I said, I think every musician needs that time to address what they do and say, there's aspects of my game that have holes in it. And I don't do it often enough where I sit down and say, right, so if I'm playing jazz standards, I always give you a really musically minded idea. I'll always substitute a 13 chord for a 9 because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did anything to rectify that. So in my live performance, it gave me a chance to say, okay, now stop making it easy on yourself. Take the difficult aspect of this and just break it down bit by bit and do it till it's easy. So COVID, amongst other things, kind of gave me that time to just address my game and the holes in my game a little bit better. And yeah.
Yeah. No, same thing for me with the podcast. Like, you know, without COVID, my podcast would not be where it is today. And I am a full believer and will die on that hill, like with that claim. Like, like I am like without COVID, like also another thing, like I wouldn't have received the same opportunities, the same, you know, podcast growth if COVID weren't to happen. And like what you said about, you know, every day without COVID, you know, every day, you know, we're go, 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 go. And, you know, musicians, they don't have the time to sit down and be like, okay, let's think about how I can do this better. Sure. Or let's see how I can change. How can I revamp the process? So I think that's really cool that you used COVID to revamp the process and also get to collaborate, because collaboration is really cool in all aspects of work, music, media.
Yeah, totally agree.
So yeah. What is something on your musician bucket list?
Like one of those things to do before I die type thing?
Yes.
Like that's the idea of a bucket list, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Well, I've been saying this a lot, so I'll keep hammering home about it. I'd love to work with Elton John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you have any way of making that happen, like that'd be great.
I unfortunately do not have any way of making that happen, but no,
that's so cool. I'm only kidding. Yeah. No, he, like, my mom and dad were hugely into his music, and yep. I think like the last record is a completely piano driven record.
Yeah.
And when there's music review sites or newspapers or magazines that review it, the one common thread has been, and this is very evocative of Elton John's early records, blah, 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 right. Like that. And I've always been a huge fan of his, but I've come to respect his work so much more, especially the early records, which I kind of ignored for a long time.
Right.
And he just always struck me as a very jolly, now we know he has his catty side too, but like, yeah. He always just struck me as a really cool guy. And yeah. Like, that'd be amazing. But that's, like, pipe dream stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I'm actively trying to make that happen. Right. Although I kind of am.
I get that. No. Yeah. And I feel like he's someone to, like, it would be really cool just to have a conversation with him, because I feel like he has so many stories. Just so many stories about things that have happened in his life, people he's worked with, like, just concerts he's done. And it's funny because he's actually coming to the town that I go to college in. I think it's in like April or something, and I'm pretty sure tickets are like completely sold out. I think this concert has been pushed back for like 3 years at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
COVID and all other stuff. But no, Elton John, I think he's just such a cool guy, and he would be really cool to work with, talk with, have a conversation with.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah. So we kind of talked about this earlier, but you've been able to perform live since COVID. So how has that experience been, just finally being able to perform in front of a live audience after nearly 2 years without being able to do so? How many other like live performances have you done? Just stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, it's weird because I've never had a real job.
Yeah.
I've never had a job that wasn't music, is the best way to put it.
Okay.
And so to not do that for 2 years, I think it was like a year and a half or a little bit more.
Yeah.
Where there were no gigs whatsoever. Like, not, and even with these kind of sanitized outdoor gigs where it's like you can't sit more than 6 feet close to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, they came in, and that was very unnatural, because in Ireland, one of the things you couldn't do was you couldn't have a gig where there was alcohol. And if you know anything about Ireland and Irish culture, that's something that just doesn't sit too well with with the collective diaspora, you know?
Yeah.
So that was weird. It was weird seeing people sit there with their hands folded, listen to music. And it's nice, because it's not that my audiences are ever rambunctious or rowdy or whatever, because the kind of stuff I do just doesn't call for that.
Yeah.
I tell you what I was most surprised at. That my audience had grown, because now there's people coming to concerts who would have seen me do live streams and were like, the minute he goes back to doing gigs, we're going to go and see him. So that's been lovely. Like, I've got to do a lot of headline concerts where I'm meeting people who have followed my music virtually for 2 years, and now they're coming to the real concerts. And like, that's lovely. So yeah, I can't complain with that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So did you do a lot of like gigs and stuff before COVID?
Oh yeah. Well, it was my full-time thing. So and I was kind of getting to the point in, like, with every musician, you want to get to the point where, like, I do shows and I do my music. Do you know what I mean? There are some guys who play bars and they play other people's like covers and stuff. I don't do that. I did it for a long time. Mm-hmm. But then once I got to the point where I had an audience significant enough that you could put on a show, charge a ticket on the door, that's what I do all the time.
Yeah.
Which is great. And like, I'm trying to get this in. A long time ago, a friend of mine, Kat Lundy, said to me, every time I meet you, you're saying, I have to do this show, or I have to do this podcast, I have to do this interview. And she was like, you need to change that to, I get to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And that's a mental space I try and stay in, rather than kind of think like, God, I have to do this. I have to do that. It's like, I get to do this.
Yeah.
There are people who have to go to meat factories and cut cows into tiny bits and package them and stuff like that and come home stinking of blood and piss and whatever. I get to do this. Do you know what I mean? So it's a pleasure. There's no doubt. Yeah.
No, I totally get that. And I think, you know, with having COVID and just knowing the fact that things can be taken away from you and like in a second, where all the opportunities can go away, anything can get canceled. Like, it just makes me realize like not to take any experience or opportunity for granted, because you don't know when the next one's going to come.
For sure. For sure.
Well,
you're doing a great job of that. I mean, like, you can see how successful your podcast has become, and that was like an idea and an iteration that came from, like, you started during COVID, didn't you?
Yeah. A week before COVID, but technically, yeah.
Yeah. So at the height of all of that stuff. And I'm sure it's been a sustaining thing for you too. Like, it's probably kept your sanity at times.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been cool. And it's been like something I can be creative in, because, you know, as a student, a lot of, you know, doctors and psychologists, they say, you know, students don't get the chance to be creative.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it's you do your math, you do your science, you do your writing, you do your reading. Mm. Where's that aspect where you get to be creative? With the podcast, I can be creative. And then with music, you get to be creative. Put your thoughts on paper, like put your, you know, the words that you want to say on paper and make music from it. So,
sure.
Yeah. Sure. So, what advice do you have for unsigned artists or smaller artists who are trying to make it?
Be nice to people. It's a bet, and I know it sounds simple, but I always remember the nasty stuff. I remember when I was in college, I was in a band. I'm not going to say who said this, but I'll give you the gist of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And can I curse on this, or would you rather I didn't?
Oh no, yeah, you can. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, right. So there was a guy when I was in college. He was connected with the students' union. Now, he's not going to care if I say this, but all he would do is just make fun of us. We weren't a great band, but I remember he said to me, "You look like somebody's geography teacher." You know, I was trying to look nice. I was wearing like a jacket and whatever. We came off stage and he saw me, and the first thing he said was, "Well, did you fuck up?"
Yeah.
I'll never forget that, because it was a really important gig to us. I thought we did pretty well.
Yeah.
But nasty people, you never forget. You can get a million nice, you never forget it. You can get a million nice compliments. You get one nasty thing.
And that's the one that's going to take you down. Yeah.
That's the one that's going to take you down. It's like, never read the comments section. You get a 50 nice comments. You get one that says, "His hair is fucking stupid looking." And that's the one that you're going to remember.
Yeah.
So yeah, my advice to people is, and especially within the business, people who work like sound engineers, stage operators, lighting techs and stuff, their job is hard and it's a grueling thing to do, like to set up stages and strip down and whatever. When they meet a musician who isn't up their own backside and isn't full of their own self-importance and cares enough to say, "How was your day? How was your week?" You remember those people. And they're the ones who, when the big opportunities come and you have the chance to give someone an opportunity, those are the people who you're going to go for. So that's the best advice I give, is just be nice to people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I think that applies to just all aspects of like trying to get a job, trying to get into the business, like all that stuff. But yeah, that's awesome.
Or anything, like, you know, yourself, like if there's a lecture you don't like, you're never going to forget them.
Yeah.
But the ones that you're kind of passively okay with, like, they just sink into the background, but the bad guys you always remember.
Yeah, no, totally agree. So my next question is, what advice would you tell? What is something you would tell your younger self?
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get really good. And like, I never, when I was younger, I got really serious about music when I was about 15.
Yeah.
And I had no discernible talent. Like, I don't even think I do now. It's all the things that I have, like any abilities I have on instruments that I play, I really worked hard for it. Like, I really had to practice to get to that point. But I often think, if I had stopped at this age, or if I'd stopped at that age, what I would have missed. Like, my last record, that the last three records I've brought out in Ireland have all got to number one in the Irish charts. Now, if you'd have told me that when I was 15, there's no way I would have believed you. Like, I come from a tiny town in South Dublin. And the last record I brought out was in the number 54 in the Billboard Hot 100 in the States. So to do that where I come from is like, you know, a place you've never heard of, in a town you've never been. You know, to do things like that is amazing. Like, but again, I get to do this all the time. So yeah, I just say to my younger self, just don't give up. You know, it's gonna get good.
No, and I say the same thing for when someone asks me like like, what advice would you give to a podcaster or a smaller podcaster? And I would just say, just keep going, keep trying. Like, it'll come, it'll come. That's what I say. It'll come.
It always does.
Yeah. So yeah. All right. My next question is, well, I always try to throw in a fun question to people I interview. And that is, if you were to go to anywhere in the world, where would it be?
And can I have been there already?
Sure. Yeah.
Or would you rather somewhere like that I've never been that I would like to go?
You can do both.
One of my favorite cities in the world, it's not my favorite city, is New York. I did a special Christmas show there. Christmas just gone.
Cool.
And it never loses its allure for me. Right. Never. It's just one of those. I love the pace of it. It's very similar to Dublin in terms of pace. Obviously, it's much, much bigger.
Yeah.
But New York, definitely. And then somewhere that I've never been to. I'd love to visit the Dairy State.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are, you know.
Nice.
You know, but like India, I'd love to go to India because I just think like you really have to be, you have to think to survive. Do you get me? You got to be careful about food to eat. There's like street sellers that they're cooking food next to an open sewer. You know, like that's edgy living. You know, so
yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Usually people are like Bali or like the Maldives, but India, that's someone has never said that before, but no, that's awesome. Do you want to say anything else on here for fans or advice for more advice or anything you want to say or shout out or stuff you have coming up, just anything?
I always think of Liam Gallagher on Oasis when he was asked, what advice would you give young artists? And he said, don't take any fucking advice. So I can't help but think of that. Yeah, I suppose like my message to any songwriters today would be study those who did it the best. So the great American songbook, jazz standards, songwriters like Paul McCartney, Paul Simon, there are people who did what you do the best that can possibly be done. And rather than just say, oh, well, I'm not into that type of stuff, like it doesn't appeal to me, just give it a listen, because the principles of songwriting are the same in death metal, in reggae, in jazz, in funk and R&B and hip hop. It's all the principle is the same. What works for one works for everything. It just sounds a little bit more colorful in different genres. Mm-hmm. I would just say study the greats, be disciplined.
Yeah.
Take care of the music, and the music takes care of you.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Do you want to shout out like where people can find you on social media, your website and music shout outs, album shout outs, all that good stuff?
Sure. Well, I'm Colm Gavin on Instagram. So just Colm Gavin. And Instagram there recently actually verified my account. So it's easy to find because you'll know it's the one with the blue tick. And on Facebook, Colm Gavin Music is probably the easiest way to find me. I do a monthly virtual concert for anyone overseas, and it's on a page called the Cellar Door Sessions page. They're actually a wine bar that are based in Mount Dora in Florida, but they allow me to use their sessions page to do these virtual concerts, and we get people tuned in from France and Germany, Idaho, Kentucky, all over the place. So that's a monthly thing that I do. But if you go onto my music page, Colm Gavin Music, you can stay in tune with all that kind of stuff. And yeah, if you're listening in Ireland or in this or wherever I am, hopefully I'll be in a town near you soon. Come to a show. It'll be a good time.
For sure. All right. Well, thank you so much, Colm, for hopping on for this interview. It was so fun and a great opportunity to have you on. As always, check out Colm's music as well as follow him on social media, like he just stated. And be sure to follow me on social media at just.isabel.things.podcast on Instagram. And check out my most recent episode where I talk about my sorority rush experience. And I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. And I'll see you next Sunday for a new episode. Bye, guys. Thank you again so much for listening to today's episode. If you like what you heard and want to listen to more, check out previous episodes and also come back every Sunday for a new episode as well.